Grace, mercy, and peace are to you from God our Father and our coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as I said in the beginning, this is a special day to come and worship, to join together. You know, when the birth story meets that first day of the week that reminds us of that other special day on the Christian calendar of Easter, the day that Christ rose from the dead, it's an amazing thing. And if you were here last night in the late service, I kind of gave a guilt trip about coming. Because it's special in that, you know, it actually won't happen again for another 11 years. 2033 is the next time that Christmas will fall on a Sunday. I mean, think about that for kids. Some of these kids won't be in the house anymore. Maybe even old enough to have their own kids. And how stuff will change and how some loved ones, whether a part of this church family or our biological families, will be called home. Because that's just the way the world works. A lot will change in the next 11 years. But there's one thing that won't change. And that is the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. The wonderful message that he has come as the Savior of the world to free us, to redeem us, to do everything for us. And so there will be some things the same, and there will be pastors preaching on Luke chapter 2 and John chapter 1 and the wonderful birth stories, whether they're kind of out there with the word becoming flesh or shepherds and angels and mangers and all of that, there will be children who will dress up like Mary and Joseph and wise men and shepherds to tell that wonderful story over and over again because it doesn't change. I hope you were here last Sunday as you heard our children do that. It was a wonderful presentation, a wonderful program, a lot of hard work. You know, there was one line, though, in a song that has stuck with me. It was the toddlers that came up here earlier, and they sang Merry Christmas, Baby Jesus. It was the tune of Happy Birthday. And there was one line that at first it really bugged me. It's not the presents, but the presents. And I don't know what about it. It's theologically correct. It's totally true, but it just kind of stuck. And I was like, it doesn't flow. And maybe the words just sound too much alike. Or maybe it's because I have toddlers and then they sang it so often and I couldn't hear the difference between the words. And even as I say it now, I can't hear the presence and the presence of God. But that's the wonderful thing that Christmas is about, right? To stand in the presence of God. To be ushered in, to be with him, that he comes near to us. You know, how do we know we're in the presence of God? Maybe we can take some clues from Mary in this story. You know, when the angel came, she was full of awe and wonder. She wondered what kind of greeting this was that the angel had even. You know, do we just hear this story and because we've heard it before, think we understand it and know it and get it, and so it just kind of, you know, rolls over us? Or do we pick it up and we examine it and we ask questions of it and what it means for us again? Because it is God's word, and God's word is living and active for us, and it does what it set out to do. Are we filled with awe, with wonder at what Jesus is doing this year through these words today? It can be like Mary when she heard the words, said, "I'm the Lord's servant." When we stand in the presence of God, we understand that he is Lord and we are not. That he is the creator, you know, the word that became flesh, and through him all things were made. And so we are creation. And so, Lord, use me, mold me, move me, allow me to be your hands and your feet, because I want to stand in your presence. I want to be there with you, wherever you are. And maybe like Mary, we're just filled with that joy when we know that the Savior has come, he's here for us, it changes our lives, and we just burst out in song. I mean, it's pretty amazing how that happens throughout the scriptures. Something amazing happens. God reveals himself to his people, and they just start singing. Mary does it in the Magnificat. Zechariah did it with John. You have Miriam, after the sister of Moses, after the deliverance from Pharaoh and through the Red Sea, she burst out in song. Hannah, after the Lord says that you will be pregnant and all of that, she sings how great God is. And so maybe, you know, we sing these songs today and throughout this Christmas season, but they should be a thing that is just our part of our lives because of the joy that we have because of Jesus. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a big musical fan. I've been to a couple. Jesse likes them more than I do, and you know, as a good husband, I go along with her. But it's good every once in a while, right? And just how these people go through life or whatever they're doing, and when something happens, they start to sing. Maybe we should be more that way, singing the praises of God, because God's joy is in us. It's not about the presence, but the presence of God. That God is among us. That God is moving. That God is active. And where God is active, there is joy. Where God draws near, we are full of joy. We can't not be full of joy when God draws near. And as we've said before in this season, you know, look at the story. When God is there, there is great joy, whether it be the shepherds or the wise men or Mary or Joseph, there's joy. And so as God draws near us, we are filled with joy. It doesn't mean that joy will just cover up every other emotion. No, as humans, as sinners, there will be other emotions in our lives, and there will be sorrow, there will be anger, there will be other things. But it doesn't mean that joy doesn't have the last word, right? And so we can mourn and weep. We can weep just as Jesus wept at the death of a loved one. But in the end, there's joy, right? Because we know the answer, that person is with Christ. And we can go through hard times, and we can struggle, and we can even get angry, and just be filled with emotions of what we're going to do, of fear, and maybe even hopelessness. But then we know that God draws near, and so we trust in him, knowing that he has a plan, and that he will provide, and everything will be okay, even if not in this world, in the world to come. And so we trust him. You know, I love John's line in his gospel that says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Literally, it means to tabernacle. That Jesus came and he pitched a tent among the people. That he got there. And just that camping kind of picture, you know, he goes and he sits there and he joins them at the campfire and he's cooking s'mores and marshmallows and hot dogs with them because he's with them right there. That's the picture that John gives us, that Jesus is in our midst, that Jesus is there with us. It's a wonderful thing that he is there. And so again, we're filled with great joy. And of course, look at his ministry. He's not off preaching on some mountain to people way down there. He's in the crowds. He's preaching among them on the mount and in the crowds and in the temple and in the places. Wherever the people are, that's where he is. And his healing isn't some distant thing. And yes, he healed from a distance, but it was with people. It was connection, even touching them, putting mud on their eyes and healing the sick and the lepers and reaching out to the dead and raising them up by his hand, because he is one that is here. He is one who takes our place. He is one who is present. Of course, that presence of Christ goes all the way to the cross. That's why we can celebrate. Without that, it would be a very frightful day, the judge being born, the king of the universe coming near. Because as we confessed earlier, we are sinners. We fall short. We don't deserve mercy and grace. We deserve his wrath. But God comes near to forgive. God comes near in his presence to love and forgive and to restore us. Jesus goes to the cross to take our place. Jesus goes to hear those words or to scream those words, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He was separated so that his presence can always be with us, so that we are filled with great joy, even in this time of maybe heartache. I don't know exactly what you're going through, and maybe it's not a good day. You know, I heard some of those stories already this morning, and how are we going to work this out, and families being broken and having to do all of this stuff. And so even with that, it's not an easy day. It's not a day that is just filled with great joy, but he's here. He's here. That joy is among us because of what he has done. And as his body now, as his people here, we take that joy. We take that joy into this world. We can be his flesh. Maybe we need to be present with those around us, right? Maybe we need to just pitch a tent in the midst of all of our friends or our family or our neighbors, or maybe just that person you run into more than once, maybe thinking God has a plan. And maybe ask him, what do they need? How can we bless them as God has blessed us? Because we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his flesh. Maybe it's to remove snow from a driveway, the drifts that are high. Maybe it's just to listen as they share what they're struggling with. Maybe it's to provide them with things that they can't do for themselves because God has blessed us. I don't know, but I think that's what God is calling us to do, to be present in the lives of others, because he has filled us with great joy. He has removed our sins. He has removed the shame, the guilt, and he has blessed us with blessing after blessing after blessing, so that we now can go and share the joy to others as forgiven sinners, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that the joy to the world that is come is in you, but it comes to the world through you as well, as his hands, as his feet, as his body here on earth now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us together into the body, whether it be here at River of Life or in another body elsewhere. We ask that you would allow us to be present in the lives of others as you became present in ours. As you became flesh and dwelt among us, and you make the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, we ask that you would allow us to be present in the lives of others. Lord, place people on our hearts that are struggling. that need to hear your words, that need to be lifted up in ways that you have blessed us with that we can do. Lord, thank you. Thank you for becoming present in this world and that your presence is with us still. Keep us with you until that last day when you would come again and call us home to be with you forever in the marriage feast of the Lamb that will never end. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At this time, we use Luther's explanation of the second article for our profession of